Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, everybody? This is Lee for Lee and Keys Real Talk. Oh, man, we got a packed show for y'all tonight. Man, we're going to recap UFC 266. We're going to talk about Peter Yan versus Corey Sandhagen. Possibly, if time permitting, we'll jump into the John Jones situation. But what's up, my man, Keys? What's going on, bro? How you doing?
In contrast to most times, this not great. I had some guys working on, had some people working on my house today, kind of like making some changes in my bathroom, and they pretty much, when I came back from the gym, I noticed they pretty much left it a mess everywhere, in the shower, in the bathroom, outside. They got cigarettes out, like, it's just like they left a mess everywhere. So I was sad, and then after that, I go outside to see that my car got hit, and basically it was a hit and run. And now, so I'm gonna, you know, start my day with that tomorrow and start, you know, making some things happen, you know, for that. So, kind of not great, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, man. I have to say, today's show is dedicated to my former coworker, Bruce Orr, man. He passed away last night. We don't know what happened to him, but, you know, he was a good coworker, cool old dude, you know, old school army cat. You know, had some ways about him that I didn't like, but he had more ways about him that I did like. So, dedicated today's show to Bruce Orr. May he rest in peace. But, you know, on the better things, me and what my boy Keys, like, what we like to do. We like to talk MMA, combat sports, and we just going to jump into it. Keys, I got to ask you, what did you think about Brian Ortega's corner work Saturday night? Did you think his corner work was up to par? Do you think they should have stopped the fight? Do you think the ref should have stopped the fight? The doctor should have stopped the fight? Or are you – I know where you're going to go. I know you don't like doctor stoppages. I know that. What was your thoughts while you was watching the fight? Did you thought the fight should have been stopped?
My bad. I thought you had finished, and you were still talking. My bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you good.
But you know – That's more of my selfish take. You know, I can't just go with my selfish take of like, yeah, I don't really like doctor stoppages. I don't like it. Partly it's disappointing to the fan, you know, disappointing to me, because I just don't like to see fights end that way. It's a very, you know, it's a dip in momentum, but also for the fighter, you know, a big portion of it is I don't like seeing the fighters kind of get stolen. Kind of get a fight stolen from them, you know, but I don't think that would have been really the case with that fight. You know, I don't think it would have been like when I'm saying that I'm more when I'm saying like I don't really like a fighter to get the fight stolen. It's kind of like I'm more looking at like, you know, Cowboy Cerrone when he blew his nose and his eye puffed up versus Ferguson, but he wanted to continue fighting. I mean, a lot of people might say, you know, okay, he can't see out of one eye, so he really shouldn't be fighting. Now, that's fair. I understand it. But, you know, you got to understand the other side when it's like, you know, Cowboy wanted to keep fighting, and he was good to go. And it was an accident. It wasn't like he was injured. You know, he wasn't spitting his teeth out like Anthony Smith in that one fight. You know, like that's a fight where I feel like, okay, protect your fighter. Like he's spitting his own teeth out. That's not good. Like I feel like that was a moment, you know. And then that Nunes fight, she fought I think Raquel Pennington, and then she was kind of battering Raquel Pennington, and I don't know if Pennington broke her hand or she broke her nose or it was something like that, and then her corner just kept sending her out there, and I don't remember what ended up happening, whether they stopped it or not, but she definitely took way too much damage. She got knocked out?
Yep, TKO.
Okay. So, like, those are examples of times where I feel like the corner, you know, should have, you know, should have protected their fighter, like the Pennington fight and the Anthony Smith fight when he was spitting his teeth out, you know, versus Glover Teixeira. Like, those are times where I'm like, all right, like, okay, so and you can argue that Ortega was in that spot, though. You know, I could understand that if somebody's like, you know, I feel like Ortega was in that type of situation and he was taking a lot of unnecessary damage and he clearly wasn't in the fight. Plus, they felt like, you know, he couldn't see out of one of his eyes. You know, they felt like he might not be able to see out of one of his eyes. So if that's the case, you know, I understand if someone's like, I think his corner should have threw in the towel, you know, and, you know, by probably round three, they should have thrown in the towel. And it probably wouldn't have even went to the doctor. You know, it probably wouldn't have even been a doctor stoppage if that was the case. Probably his corner should have said, okay, we're going to throw in the towel for this fight. He's clearly, you know, he's taking a lot of punishment. And when you look at the report and what came out, you know, he has Brian Ortega said, you know, after evaluation, he has a fractured orbital. And I think, like, he has some cracked ribs or some fractured ribs. That was the two things. He said his ribs and fractured orbital. So, yeah, those are there. And, you know, maybe he sustained those. Maybe he got those injuries early into the fight. And, you know, if that's the case, you know, maybe if they put in the towel and he didn't fight five rounds, maybe he could have, you know, saved himself a little bit. You know, he could have taken a lot less punishment and maybe he wouldn't have had, you know, one of those. I don't know. So it could go either way. I mean, I think, yeah, I could see it going either way. If somebody wanted the fight to be stopped by his corner, you know, I could see it. I just don't like dog stoppages.
Yeah, I think when I was watching it and they was giving him the follow the finger test and he was clearly failing it, at that point I was like, man, this could get bad. You know, you could tell Herb Dean had a major concern, you know, when the doctor was in there and he was giving him the finger test and I think Herb was leaning more towards stopping the fight than the doctor was. But at the same time, we wouldn't have got the fourth and fifth rounds, and the fourth and fifth rounds ended up being classic rounds, making the fight an instant classic. So, you know, I'm one that's all for fighter safety, and I feel the first, your corner should protect the fighter. Secondly, the doctor should protect the fighter. And thirdly, the referee should protect the fighter. I felt his corner, you know, he's fighting in a title fight, so of course they're going to try to juice him up, you know, pushing him back out there. And, you know, that's what, you know, a fighter wants to hear normally in between rounds, you know, that he can do this, he can do that, you know that he can do the energy. And and just looking back at it, would I have been mad if they stopped it? No. But, man, it ended up being a classic fourth and fifth round. And Ortega, you know, he did some things that I was like, I thought that he couldn't do. I knew he was tough from the Holloway fight, but man, this guy is super tough. I still think he could have won the fight. I don't know why he tried to change his position on that leg triangle. All he had to do was stay right there. And I think Volk either would have passed out or tapped out. But he tried to improve his position and let Volk slip out of that leg triangle. And I was just like, wow. But, you know, what was your thoughts on the fight? Overall thoughts on the fight?
I mean, I thought Volkanovski pretty much, I mean, I definitely had him winning every round of the fight. I mean, it was at least a 10-9 Volkanovski every round, in my opinion. Ortega had, I think, two, if not three, submission attempts in there that Volkanovski even came out and said that, you know, in the post-fight presser, one of them was so tight, he said it was, I'm about to lose my belt tight. you know. So he admitted that, and that was, you know, Ortega. So at least one of those submission attempts, Ortega was, you know, that close to winning the belt. So he definitely had those moments. But other than that, as far as the striking, I just feel like he was outclassed. You know, he was definitely outclassed on the feet. And, you know, it was kind of – while I was happy because I was rooting for Volkanovski to win and I predicted him to win, you know, it was kind of – you know, looking back, it was kind of difficult to watch, you know. Because Ortega, we've seen him taking a beating like that before. And, you know, it's tough to see that. I mean, the dude – props to Ortega. He's fighting, you know, some of the best featherweights ever in UFC history, like, you know, and back-to-back title fights. I mean, when you really look at that, like, some of the best featherweights ever, you know, and he's fighting those guys. He's always fighting the best guys, so I definitely give him a lot of credit for that. Overall, I mean, I think it's a classic fight. I think it'll be remembered forever, and We witnessed history there in that fight. We definitely witnessed history.
Yeah, man. I think we did our predictions. I would say there's no way Ortega was going to win a striking match. It's just not in his DNA to win a striking match. His best chance was taking Volkanovski down. And once he took him down, you could see what he could do on the mat. You know, his jiu-jitsu is just crazy. But I think in the fourth and fifth rounds, he fought with a lot of heart. But your heart can only take you so far. So I was pulling for him. But, you know, man, now it's like he can't beat Max. He can't beat Volkanovski. What's next for Ortega? Does he stay at 145? Does he go up to 155? What you think is next for Ortega and what you think is next for Volkanovski, bro?
Ortega, Volkanovski. I mean, I'll say for Ortega first, I'd say, I mean, okay, he's 0-2 in title fights. He won one fight in between. I mean, Ortega, I'm sure they're going to give him a medical suspension. He'll probably have at least 6 months. Medical suspension. His will probably be longer because he has a fractured orbital, and I think he said he has some cracked ribs, so he might be out for like a year. I wouldn't doubt it. And like I said, at least 6 months he'll be out. But then, you know, from that point, you know, once he heals, probably go back to the drawing board, spend some time off, and maybe try to figure out, like, do we want to keep trying to become more well-rounded? Like, we want to keep trying to drill striking and keep trying to become a better striker, you know, or do we want to just, like, really hone in on our takedowns and just, you know, really go back to that style? Because, you know, even though he's fought, like, really tough fights, it's not like he's fighting, you know, guys that it's, you know, he has a sure shot of beating. You know, these are some of the greatest. I just think that, you know, his striking, I mean, I don't really feel like it improved too much. I mean, I'd say it did improve, but I can't really say, like, it looked incredible. Like, you know, versus Korean Zombie, I think Korean Zombie, like, might have had a bad night too. And, you know, Ortega definitely showed improvement, but then it was like once he got in front of Volkanovski, it kind of looked like he didn't make any improvement. So it's kind of hard to really gauge where his striking is at and how much it improved, you know, when you look at those last two fights. But I don't know. I think they should go back and try to figure out, like, do we want to keep trying to become more well-rounded, or do we want to try to, like, work on wrestling a little bit more and maybe try to, you know, improve our takedowns so that we can just more quickly get the fight to where, you know, where most dominant, which is his jiu-jitsu, you know? So I think that could be a good lane to go down for Ortega, trying to, you know, start working at a, you know, a well-known wrestling gym, you know, and try to, you know, I know he has takedowns, but let's get, maybe try to get better with takedowns and, you know, become like a wrestling and jiu-jitsu guy, so then you can get the fight to where you want it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, taking all this damage and trying to, you know, strike with the best guys in the world just isn't really the best plan. You know, I mean, you can do it a little bit, but, you know, some of the, you maybe just do it enough to then get, you know, secure the takedown and get the fight where you want to go. You know what I'm saying? So I think that could be a good thing for Ortega. As far as who he fights next, I really don't know. It's kind of tough for me to make a call for that right now. Volkanovski, I definitely think Volkanovski should fight the winner of Max Holloway's next fight, Max Holloway and Yair Rodriguez. I don't really understand why. I looked at Yair Rodriguez's record. I don't really understand why he's in that fight, really. Like, it seems kind of random to me. But maybe I just haven't been paying attention enough to him. I didn't realize that he had, like, a couple wins. Like, I didn't know he was even on a win streak. I knew he beat Korean Zombie, like, 2 years ago. Like, before – I think it was, like, before COVID. He had that crazy knockout Korean Zombie. But since that point, I don't even remember him fighting. So, I don't even remember him fighting. I didn't even know he was – I thought he got cut from the UFC. I didn't even know where Yair Rodriguez was at. So – it's kind of like a surprise to me that he's in like a number one contender fight, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think he beats Max Holloway anyways, to be honest. I don't think he's going to beat Max Holloway, but I mean, if you do beat Max Holloway, I feel like you should fight for the belt. You probably deserve it because, you know, he's arguably the best featherweight ever. So if you do beat him, I think you deserve to fight for the belt. So that's the way I go with that.
Yeah, man. Yair Rodriguez is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So his last 9 fights, he got 7 wins, 1 no contest, and 1 loss via TKO. But like you said, he really hasn't. It seems like he's been very inactive. I just don't understand how they come up with Yair Rodriguez. I mean, I know the UFC feel like they invested a lot in him and they see potential superstar in him, but I just don't see how he's a number one contender, potentially a number one contender fight. So, on with two, I think Holloway beats him. Gets his third crack at Volkanovski. I know a lot of people, me included, I thought Holloway won the second fight. But, you know, they gave it to Volkanovski. I think there's no way he beat Max 3 times in a row. So I've never seen a trilogy. Well, we've seen trilogy fights, but have we seen a trilogy fight where the guy never won? Where a guy never won a fight? So... that's kind of different. But I did read on ESPN, and I think this will be a good fight for Brian Ortega. Brian Ortega versus Calvin Kattar, man. I like that fight. You got the striker versus the wrestler. So we'll see what happens. But once again, it goes back to something you said. Ortega seems to take too much punishment when he's in there with strikers. He has to learn how to implement his game plan to that better suits his fighting style that gets him the W. And right now, him fighting strikers and him trying to exchange, that doesn't work. So, but I do like Volkanovski versus Max Holloway 3. And I don't mind Ortega versus Calvin Kattar.
Yeah, Ortega and Kattar, yeah, that's a good fight. I mean, pretty much two guys who coming off pretty bad losses. I mean, I like it. That's a cool fight. I couldn't think of who Ortega should fight, you know, at the time that you asked me. But I mean, I do like that fight. And then were you saying basically you think that a trilogy? Holloway and Volkanovski, like you were saying, have we ever seen a trilogy where one guy never won one?
Yeah. Normally, as soon as you fight, don't we normally have it 1-1 or one win or no decision or something fluky or, you know, something like
well,
that?
I'll be, you know, I'll make my smart ass comment, and I'll say the same thing about Figueiredo getting a third fight with Moreno.
True that.
It's fine.
true.
As far as I'm concerned, he didn't win a fight either. He didn't win that first fight, so they could say, you know, they like to say that it was a draw. But I didn't see a draw. I saw him lose that first fight. So if we never saw one, then maybe the new trend is losing twice and then still getting the trilogy fight because they're doing that fight in December.
Which I'm totally against.
Yeah,
but,
I think that's a bogus fight. I'm really not even excited for that. I'm really not even excited to see that fight. I mean, it's cool, but I'm really not excited. I don't think Moreno should have to fight him again. I really don't.
Because, okay, let's just say hypothetically speaking, Keys. I know we're getting off topic real quick. But let's just say Figueiredo wins. So you're going to have him fight a fourth time while the division stands packed. The division ain't moving. That would be four fights in a row between Moreno and Figueiredo.
Four fights. Yeah, that really sounds whack to me. Yeah, that sounds really whack.
If Figueiredo wins, you know the UFC has to give Moreno a rematch.
Yeah, at that point, that would just kind of seem like that they just knew that they didn't. That would be like out of total desperation. I would just feel like that was a point for them to say, we really don't have anybody else that is like ready to fight, so we're just going to keep on making this match. Like, and that would just seem desperate to me. I heard that it was originally supposed to be somebody else for this fight. I heard that it was supposed to be, I forget his name, not Perez, one of the other one. I think it was maybe Askarov. Was it Askarov?
Oh, that's my boy.
I think it might have been Askarov in the beginning. I read that their first call was not to Figueiredo. They called Askarov, and then I think he accepted the fight, but I think then he might have got an injury or something like that. There was something, he might have got COVID, or there was something that came up with that where he wasn't able to fight like a little bit afterwards. So that's when they, you know, Figueiredo was already right there pulling for the fight, and then they just went with that. So I think I appreciate that they were trying to make a different fight in the beginning, and then they kind of just, the fight kind of just like, you know, fell together.
Okay, I'm looking at it because I know Askarov, he got COVID. He did something stupid at his last fight, and the UFC pulled him off the fight. I know he did something stupid to violate the UFC COVID protocol, and they kicked him off the card. But I would have loved to see Brandon Moreno fight Askarov. Askarov is a guy that can really go. He's multi-talented. He's not a one-trick pony. And I want to say he's kind of young also. So I wouldn't mind seeing either Figueiredo fight Askarov or Moreno fight Askarov. One of the other ones should have been fighting Askarov, and the other should have been fighting either Alex Perez or Alexander Pantoja. So that way we break up this trilogy thing, and the guy that lost, Figueiredo, would have to earn a title shot. He would have had to earn a title shot instead of being given one. I don't think Askarov would have turned down the fight, Keys, so it got to be more to it. Like you said, maybe he's injured, but I know he did violate the COVID protocol in his last fight And maybe the UFC is still mad about that shit, and they might be punishing him. But I wouldn't mind saying Askarov. I totally agree.
Yeah, because if you look at MMA Junkie, if you look at MMA Junkie, I just pulled this up. I typed in Moreno and Askarov, and it comes up. Askarov tells Davison Figueiredo to get in line. Calls out Brandon Moreno. Yeah, so yeah, I want to say it was him. But it doesn't say whether or not they booked a fight. I'm pretty sure they did, though. I'm pretty sure they did. And I don't think Askarov turned it down. I think he accepted it. And then, like, I think something came up. Like, he might have got injured in training, or, like, he might have, you know, came down with COVID. It was something like that, I'm pretty sure, when I read the report. It was something like that. Like, he out of his hands. He wasn't able to fight. But he did accept it, though.
Okay. Well, look, man, let's talk about this real quick. Really, really quick. Valentina Shevchenko, bro. I know we like to throw around the word dominant and GOAT and names like that, but Valentina Shevchenko looks like she's unbeatable at her current division, bro. I don't understand it. Whatever people come in there try to do, she has a counter. If they try to stand up and strike with her, she can do that. If they try to take her down, she'll mind. I don't know how you beat her, but I'm going to just say she is probably the most dominant champion. It's crazy that the two most dominant champions in the UFC are women, Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko, bro. What did you think of her performance?
I thought her performance, you know, I thought Shevchenko did what I expected her to do. You know, she was in control of the fight the entire time. Pretty much every second of the fight, she was in control. And she dominated the fight on the feet. And I would have expected nothing less. You know, she looked great. She looked excellent. And I just kind of watched it and smiled. I was like, wow, this is, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, figured that the fight would go in this way. You know, that's not to shade Lauren Murphy. You know, she's tough as well. And she fought her way to that spot. You know, she was deserving of that spot, you know, to be right there. But it's just, Shevchenko's different, man. She said it herself, you know, and the media leading up to the event. She said, you know, a lot of these fighters have been fighting MMA, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, 10 years. She's like, I've been training MMA for 28 years. You know, she's like, I've been really training MMA like my entire life. Like, it's so, I'm very experienced in this, and like, this is all she's been doing it every day, you know, 28 years, like it, you know, and it shows in there. She's amazing. So I just thought the performance was, you know, what I thought it would be in a little bit more.
Man, it's just becoming hard to find words to describe her, man, because she is very, very, very good. It was to be expected that she was going to win, but she just make it look so easy and so dominant. So, we shall see who they feed to her next, because she hasn't said anything about Nunes, so she hasn't said anything about moving up. Don't know. Nick Diaz, bro. Very disappointing performance to me. But when I looked at the stats, I couldn't believe his output. His output in that fight was crazy for a guy that haven't fought in so long. Let me pull the stats up real quick. Nick Diaz threw 339 strikes. He landed 150. Lawler threw 221 strikes, landed 131. Nick landed 114 strikes to Lawler's head. Lawler landed 88 strikes to Nick's head. Bruh, I thought Nick looked kind of sluggish in the beginning, but his output was there, his stamina was there, his cardio seems to be there. Explain the finish to me, Keys. Please explain the finish to me. What did you see in the finish?
I mean, Lawler hit him with a shot, and it looked like to me that, you know, I think Diaz, you know, he was hurt, and I don't think he wanted to continue. I think he could have. I just don't think he wanted to. You know, it looked like to me that he waved off the ref and was like, I'm done. So I think he just he was getting bloodied, and it was getting to the point where, you know, the fight was starting to turn, you know, out of his, it was, the fight was moving away from him, you know, it was moving away from Diaz, and, you know, Lawler was just, if he would have continued from that point, like, Lawler probably would have, you know, would have inflicted more damage, and probably would have been, you know, a stoppage that, you know, Nick Diaz maybe wouldn't have had a say in. You know, he might have just got stopped. You know, the ref might have had to intervene or something like that, or he might have got actually knocked out. And I was saying just moments prior to the stoppage, I was like, yo, you don't really stop like a Diaz brother. Like, I've never seen Nick fight before, because that was, like, before my era of being an avid fan watching. But I have seen Nate fight, and one thing I know about these guys is, like, you know, you can hit them with a lot of shots, and these are not guys that you're going to just go in there and knock out. Like, these guys can – they have chins. You know, these are not chinny fighters, if anything. And then, you know, then the stoppage happened, like, you know, maybe a minute or two after I said that, which was kind of funny. But, yeah, that's pretty much what I thought about it, though.
Man, I'm leaning your way, too. I think Nick kind of waved a white flag. I think he could have probably came out in the third round, maybe put together maybe some combinations, you know, maybe a flurry, and, you know, maybe even inked out a decision. I mean, I think the first two rounds were really kind of close, especially with his output. It wouldn't be a stretch to say he either won the first round or the second round. So if he would have came out and maybe did something in the third round, maybe he could have won, came out and won that fight. So, but on with you, when I went back and I watched it again, I was like, wow, I can't believe Nick just basically waved a white flag. I can't believe he just quit. Because nothing has come out to say he was injured or nothing like that. So, only thing we can go to believe is that, you know, like you said, I just think he didn't want to continue. So, and that being said, it's kind of unfortunate and sad, especially for a guy his skill set and known for being so tough. So, you know, it is what it is. I know me and you call Curtis Blaydes and we call Andrade, but I'm going to let you talk about Jessica Andrade, because you tweeted something during this fight that you said prior to when we made our predictions, and it was so true. What you said was so true and prophetic, that I couldn't believe that Cynthia Calvillo's corner didn't tune in to our show. If they would have tuned to our show, they would have had the blueprint of how to win this fight.
What did I say?
Talk about
it. What did I say?
You said if Calvillo tried to strike with Andrade, it would be an early night for her because she doesn't have the striking skills that Andrade has.
I think I said too that I just didn't know if I felt like Andrade's power would overwhelm Calvillo. You know, I felt like her standing there and taking those shots. Like I haven't seen her fight. I want to say I mentioned that yeah. So that the power, I felt like Andrade's power and her overall boxing, I felt like her boxing was much better than Calvillo's. And I just felt like if Calvillo was gonna win this fight, she would come out early and get the fight to the mat because that was her best shot. And she didn't even attempt it. I didn't even see her attempt a takedown. So I have no idea what their game plan was. I really do not know.
Evidently, game plan, just you tweeted, Cynthia can't get into a striking match with Jessica. Jessica didn't respect her power. No, I said that. You said, I have predicted that if this is to be a striking match, Andrade takes it. Didn't think it would be that early, though. Congrats, Andrade. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I figured first two rounds, but I didn't think it would be, you know, that quick into the fight. Like, that was like a minute or two into the fight, I'm pretty sure. I didn't think it would be that soon, but, I mean, hey, I guess I was right based on my prediction. Calvillo should have attempted to take her down, and they didn't. So, you know, I think they'll learn from that one.
All right, man. Let's get into the fight that me and you weren't – we weren't surprised he won, but I'm surprised that he won. Mariah Dillashvili. Early in the fight, Marlon Moraes had him rocked. I thought Marlon made a mistake by not going for the finish. Marlon, you have been losing on a losing streak. You put your foot to the gas and you go all out for the finish. If you tire yourself out, if you get punched, your arms get tired or whatever. You deal with that if it happens. But I thought he made a critical mistake by not going for the finish. And him not going for the finish, Mariah Dillashvili came back and dominated him and won the fight. What was your thoughts on the fight, Keith?
I just want to point out, my prediction was correct once again. Both of our predictions were right, actually, on that one. Both of our predictions were right once again. And, you know, we said Marab would be a domination, and it was definitely it was more than a domination, actually. Moraes, you know, he pretty much came with one round. It looked to me like he came with one round, and that's not good. That is not good. Especially not versus Merab. Not good at all. Not good. You know, we haven't seen Merab in a 5-round fight yet. But from what I can see is he doesn't look to gas. He doesn't seem like he gasses out. I haven't seen him get tired. I haven't seen him in a fight yet where I was like, all right, Merab looks done. Like, he's done. Okay, second round, he looks done. Like, I haven't seen that happen yet. I've seen him look energized. I've seen him be the one that makes the other guy look like he's tired, you know? That's what I've mainly seen from Merab. So, yeah, we haven't seen him go 5 rounds, but I think it's more leaning towards the side of he does have a good cardio, and he can go into those later rounds, you know, when that comes up, you know, pretty soon here lately. I'm not going to get too ahead of myself, but I think we will BC Imerab in a 5-round fight, you know, in one of his next, you know, probably in the next 2 or 3 fights, we will be seeing him in a 5-round fight. Not saying that's for the title, just saying it's in at least a main event, you know, at least a 5-round main event, you know what I'm saying? So, Imerab, you know, he came back from adversity. He almost got stopped. He got hit with a shot. You know, he was standing there striking, and I will say this. I like the way he looked, man. I liked his stance. You know, I like the way you would, you know, it wasn't good after when he started getting hit with some of the shots. You could tell when he started to recognize Moraes' power. You know, the power was starting to get to him. He got wobbled. He came back from it. And, you know, but then he did what he does. You know, his top position, you know, is very strong, very dominant. And he showed that, and, you know, he landed a lot of strikes, you know. I want to say he might have broke a record for strikes landed in that fight. And, you know, it was pretty much – it reminded me of Khabib. You know, I really got to say it reminded me of Khabib, you know, that performance. It reminded me of a good Khabib performance.
Man, I was worried, man, when he got rocked. I was like, whoa, is his chin a question? But his heart, he fought through adversity, and he did what he's always done, is he starts to dominate. And once he gets to dominating, it seems like his opponents don't have any answer for him, man. I like what you said, put him in a main event, a 5-round main event, probably on a fight night. I like that. I think that'll be a good idea, probably the next step for him. So, but are you worried about his chin? Are you worried about his chin a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I can't say I'm not worried about it. I mean, a little bit I am, but I'm not too much. You know, I'm not worried too much about it. I'm not like, oh, man, like he can't, like he's not, like he's in danger versus like any guys, you know, with power. Like, you know, because like you said, he did show heart and he came back from it. You know, he recovered and he fought through it. You know, a lot of guys would be in those moments and they would quit. They'd want to be out of there. They'd want to shell up, you know, and that would be it. The ref would come in. That would have been a TKO stoppage. But, you know, yeah, I mean, if he fights you guys with you know, that a knockout artist heavy power, yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe his chin is, you know, he might need to just work on his boxing a little bit, not stand in front of the guys like that. You know, guys like Moraes, you probably don't want to stand there and take shots from guys like that, knowing that your chin is, you know, not the strongest, you know. But I think he, you know, I'm not worried that, oh, he's not going to be able to beat those types of guys, you know. It's kind of like Oliveira. Like, we saw Oliveira get clipped by Chandler, and he was hurt, but we saw him come back, and he got the finish. And you know, we're not really gonna say, oh, Oliveira can't fight, you know, Gaethje, you know, or Poirier, because, you know, those guys have power and they'll knock him out. Like, that's, you know, that's not necessarily true. I mean, he could get hurt in those fights, but he still has weapons that can beat those guys, and that's kind of the way that I'm looking at Imerab after that fight.
Good point. Well, also over the weekend, we learned that Aljamain Sterling would not be medically cleared to, quote-unquote, defend his belt against Petr Yan. So the UFC has decided to do an interim bantamweight title fight between Petr Yan and Corey Sandhagen. Which way do we want to go with this topic? Let me see. All right. Are you pleased with Petr Yan and Corey Sandhagen fighting for an interim belt?
Um, I mean, Sanhagen's coming off a loss, but he did have a good, you know, I can't say good. He had a really good performance, you know, versus Dillashaw. So, you know, I'm not really mad at it. You know, I'm not really too mad at it. You know, I think Sanhagen, I don't really know what other way they could have went with that. I mean, Dillashaw, I heard, isn't ready. I think he might have some minor injuries, so he wasn't ready. Otherwise, you know, if he was clear, I would have said, you know, I think Dillashaw definitely should get it over Corey. But, you know, being that Corey's there and, you know, TJ's healing up and he's doing what he's doing, and there's really nobody else right there, because my boy Rob Font is booked to fight Aldo, you know, one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time. He's going to fight Aldo in December, so I can't even really say, oh, how come they didn't call Rob Font? You know, I can't even really say that. So when you look at it at that point, there's really nobody else there that could have fought. You know, I know me and you generally aren't crazy about interim belts. So that part of it, the fact that we're watching a fight for an interim belt, kind of, I'm not really too crazy about that. Especially where we're waiting on Aljamain Sterling, who, you know, has been a very underwhelming, you know, champion so far. You know, pretty disappointing championship reign so far. The fact that we're doing an interim belt under these circumstances, I don't really like. But the fight itself, I do like the fight itself. I think that's the stipulation I'll make. The fact we're going to do it for an interim belt, not crazy about that. But the fact that and the fact that they didn't strip Aljamain Sterling, not crazy about that. But the fact that it's, you know, the fight itself, I do like the matchup itself. I think it's a banger.
Me personally, love the fight. You know, I'm a Corey Sanhagen guy. Been driving his bandwagon since his first fight in the UFC. The only thing I would change in this fight, drop interim. What has Aljamain Sterling really done in this fight? What has he done to say that he's a champion? He was awarded the belt because of an illegal strike and a fight that he was losing. So let's drop the intro, man. Whoever wins this fight is the bantamweight champ. I know me and you are both fans of Aljamain Sterling. You know, we want him to get healthy, get right so he can get back in there. But let's call a spade a spade. Do we look at him as really the bantamweight champion? No. Is he the champion? Yes. But I would look at the winner of this fight as being the champion in the division and not him. So, UFC, I know y'all don't really like stripping people's belts and all this and all that. But let's be real. Let's bring it to the altar right now. Aljamain Sterling was awarded a belt and a fight that he was losing. Come on. Let's drop the interim, Petr Yan versus Corey Sanhagen for the bantamweight champion undisputed. Let's go. It's just that simple for me.
Whew. Go ahead.
Oh, man, it's just frustrating, bro. I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah, he basically won the belt in a fight that he was getting. He was losing pretty clearly, so that pretty much sucks. And then he was over there taking pictures, you know, while he, you know, he wasn't entertaining a rematch with Yan, who he owes another fight to, but he was taking pictures with Henry Cejudo and teasing that fight, and I didn't really respect that. I think that was pretty fake to do. And, you know, then he's over there tweeting the whole time, but then, you know, he's injured and now he's out of the fight. And, you know, now it's just going to be this whole prolonged situation, and God knows, he probably won't even fight this year. It probably will be, you know, Q1 or Q2 next year. And that just, you know, holds up the division even longer. So, honestly, I wouldn't be mad at it. You know, if you, you know, if you were to do, if you were to do that fight for the undisputed title, Sandhagen and Jan, I mean, I wouldn't be really that mad at it. You know, the only thing that I would be a little bit annoyed with is that, you know, TJ just beat Sandhagen, and he wouldn't be fighting for that undisputed title, but Sandhagen would. So that part would I'd be a little bit annoyed with, but I would still accept it because I know that when TJ comes back, I think he would have the right to fighting whoever wins that fight. And I still think he might, you know. I still think that, you know, hopefully, you know, TJ fights the winner of this interim fight. You know, I'm hoping that's the way that it goes, and then that fight's for the undisputed title. That's what I would like to see happen. But, you know, at that point, why even make an interim bout? They might as well just get rid of the interim bout and just, you know, just have the fight. And we all know that it's a number one contenders fight, so why do we need the interim bout? That just makes things kind of complicated, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know the UFC wants to keep the division moving, but, I mean, this is just one of the tough calls you got to make. I know you don't want to strip your champion because they are medically unable to fight, but he didn't want to fight the guy that, quote-unquote, he beat. He out here trying to challenge everybody else outside of the guy who he beat, and then you see him at every event, you know. It's like, yo, bro, what's going on? We as fans see you out here kicking it, and you supposed to be injured, or your neck supposed to be injured, or whatever. I mean, I ain't saying that when you injured, you just supposed to, you know, go lay up on a blanket and wallow in your sorrows. But damn, I mean, he just, to me, he just didn't look injured. But I'm not his neck, I'm not his back, and we as fans, you know, we tend to do this thing that I'm doing right now when I say he don't look injured, but I don't know. All I know is that he's not medically cleared. He really didn't win the belt. He was awarded the belt. So let two guys go ahead and scrap for the belt, man. All right.
I'm with Whew. It, bro.
All right, man, we got to talk about it. Over the weekend, my boy John Jones was arrested for a domestic assault, causing harm to a vehicle, tampering with a vehicle. Allegedly, we have to say allegedly because we are show, we are platform. The police found his wife. Her face was bloody, and it's being said that he assaulted his wife in front of his kids in Las Vegas. Me, as a John Jones fan, I think it's time for the UFC to actually do something with John Jones. It's time for them to discipline John Jones. I don't know how they're going to do it, but it's time to discipline. Make him go to some mandatory counseling from an independent party, not somebody that they set up. It's time for y'all to intervene in this man's life if y'all look at him as an asset. If you don't look at him as an asset, cut him. I mean, every time, and I say this, Keys, and I think you're starting to join my party, if he's not training, he's going to get in trouble. When he's training to be in a fight, he's focused on being in a fight. But whenever he has downtime, stuff like this happens to him. I'm tired of the UFC laying by the wayside, not punishing not doing anything to their fighters. You as an organization have to realize that every time one of your fighters do something wrong, the first thing, what's the three letters in front of their name, before you even get to their name, they always say UFC fighter, former UFC champion. You know, it's like that brings bad publicity to your organization. I know the UFC feel like fighters are independent contractors, but they are independent contractors fighting under your umbrella. It's time to start enabling bad behavior, and it's time to start disciplining and fining and even suspending bad behavior. John, you need help, bro. Put the alcohol down, dog. Every time you and alcohol are together, there's a bad ending. You and Vegas is a bad ending. So I was disappointed in John. I don't think he's going to escape this time with the law. I think I know he got a good legal team, good representation, but I think he's going to get hit probably with – he might get some time. If he don't get some time, he's going to get some serious probation. They're going to make him and put him in a diversion program. And I think they're going to seriously fire him. John, praying for you, bro. It's time for you to get your life in order, man. It's time. You're too old. You ain't young anymore. So you can't blame it on being young and dumb. So it's time for you to grow up, bro, and get your life together outside of the octagon. And that's all I got to say on that.
Yeah, I mean, we both pretty much agreed, but I know neither one of us is a fan of this, but I know you were particularly not a fan of this. You know, John Jones is a pugilist, you know? He's technically a pugilist, right?
True.
And, you know, you've made this critique about Floyd Mayweather. I mean, I don't know the exact situations to compare them, but, I mean, he in some way put hands on his, I don't know if his girlfriend or his wife or what the relation is, but allegedly he put his hands on the woman. And, you know, I know that's something that you're generally not a fan of. That puts you in a tough spot, you know, being that he's arguably one of your favorite fighters. You know, I definitely think, though, I agree with what you're saying. You know, they need to – I mean, I think it's just not a good look, you know, to always have John Jones come back and fight and not really set the precedent. You know, the UFC not really setting the precedent for – you know, other fighters, upcoming fighters of like, all right, well, if you come in here, like, this is what you're going to be able to get away with. You know, them just kind of letting these things happen all the time and not really doing much about it and just continuing business as usual, it sets the wrong precedent for incoming fighters, and it just gives a bad look on the UFC overall because they just allow it to happen, and it kind of makes it seem like, you know, they're not – I feel like it kind of takes legitimacy away from the UFC, you know? It's like every time a fighter, you know, something like this happens, you know, what do they end up saying? Oh, like you said before, it's like, oh, retired UFC fighter, BJ Penn, you know, allegedly, you know, does this. And those eyes go back to the UFC after that, you know, because it's, oh, he used to fight where? In the UFC, you know? So when you have situations like that that are ongoing, like, it's always going to be a bad look on the UFC as well. And the individual needs to get there. He needs to work on their, you know, mental health and substance, stay away from substances and work on, you know, their personal life before being a fighter. But also the organization to try to work on the fighter as well. And also, while working on the fighter and doing the right thing, protect their brand as well by working on the fighter. You know, you can protect your brand by working on the fighter. You know, both of those things kind of complement one another. You work on the fighter and help them work on themselves. That's going to be better for your brand. You know, on your brand by working on the fighter. You know, because people can see that. Like, oh, you know, they're gonna, you know, John Jones gonna get suspended. He actually is gonna face punishment for what just happened. He's not just gonna be able to go fight in 6 months and everything's gonna be like it never happened. You know, so I think, you know, the UFC should do both, and John Jones should. I agree with what you said. He needs to step aside and you know, put the bottle down for sure. You know, put the drugs down for sure, and really, you know, work out, you know, the demons that he's fighting with.
Yeah, man. You know, one thing about life is you can't be a positive influence on society if you can't be a positive influence on yourself. So John has demons. He needs to face these demons. And, you know, we praying for him, praying for his family. You know, hopefully him and his wife can, or him and his, I know it's his wife. Hopefully him and his wife can work it out, you know, get through it. You know, hate to end the show on this note, but it's something that we got to talk about. On this show, we keep it real. We talk about all the important topics, rumors, stories that's going on in mixed martial arts, combat sports, and all that good stuff. So this is something that we had to talk about. Like Key said, John is one of my favorite fighters. But I would never support a guy that put his hands on women, especially if you are a pugilist. You get paid to use your hands as weapons. You should never put your hands on a woman, man. You know, Keys, man, hopefully you get the bathroom and your car figured out, bro. Any last word for the people?
Nah, nothing really. Yeah, I'm definitely, first thing tomorrow, I'll be making some phone calls and making, you know, probably running around, making some things happen for that. Probably looking to get a rental and stuff. So it's all good though. Make it happen. I really don't have any last words. I don't even know. I think there is a UFC card this weekend. It's the Johnny Walker.
We got Thiago Santos versus Johnny Walker. Who you got?
I think Johnny Walker beats him. I think Johnny Walker beats him.
I feel the same way. Until I see that Thiago Santos that went in that ring and went toe-to-toe with John Jones before he blew his knees out, I won't pick him, man, because I don't think he has confidence in his legs. Until I see that guy back in the octagon, I would think I would pick against him. So I'm going with Johnny Walker, man, but I'm going to go on a unanimous decision. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably going, you know, that way, too, I think. Yeah, I'm rolling with you. But, yeah, no, I don't have nothing really. You know, just enjoy the rest of the week, everybody. And, wish me some luck, you know, figured out my car, if you would.
Man, you'll get it figured out, bro. So stay positive. You'll get it figured out. You know, man, tomorrow I have to go to work, man, help clean off my coworker who passed away last night. I got to help clean off his desk tomorrow. So, you know, man, I got to get my mind right for that. But, you know, hopefully he's in a better place. And positive people with positive energy will always yield positive results. That being said, Lynn Keys, signing off on this Wednesday. Wishing everybody to be safe, take care of yourself, practice social distancing, wear your mask, And if you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated. We ain't telling you what to do. We just saying it's a personal choice. Lynn Keys signing off. And as always, we end the show with a peace.